Guardian Unlimited.
The Guardian podcast, sponsored by Volvo. The all-new Volvo C70 invites you to feel. It's time to open up and see life in a different light.
I'm Michael Hann. I'm joined by Nick Rhodes and John Taylor of Duran Duran for the second part of our podcast to discuss their compilation album Only After Dark, which brings together the songs that they loved in the late 70s and early 80s. A wonderful, wonderful record of great, great songs, I really should add. Now, one of the things that happened immediately you came to prominence was that you got labelled a teeny bopper band, and you're not coming from that background at all. You were listening to this incredible art rock. I mean, did you ever find yourself resenting it, or was the fact that people loved you so much compensation enough?
Well, it was probably as much of a surprise to us as to anyone, in that we were singing some pretty dark songs on the first album, and it came from the background of all these songs and a lot of others that are on the Only After Dark compilation. But you never know who your audience is going to be. And we started off in clubs and bars around Birmingham and started to build up a cult following. And then it started to get media attention, and then we got a record deal, and we were just moving forward, and then we got a song out, and then we were on Top of the Pops, and then things changed. And I, you know, we were very grateful to have an audience, to be honest. It was quite an exciting audience. I mean, if you look back at a lot of bands that we loved, like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Doors, I mean, they all had a pretty young following too, because young kids are the ones that have got the time and the energy and the enthusiasm for that. I mean, when I was 10, 12, 14 years old, I was in a record store every minute I could spend in there listening to things and buying new stuff. And when you get a little older, if you're not within the music industry, that often goes out of your life, which is a terrible shame. So we were lucky to get a young audience, I guess.
John, did you find yourself moving away from the music you loved as you became a phenomenally successful band, or were you returning to this stuff? Was this kind of like a musical anchor for you?
Well, interestingly enough, I think that this music represents, you know, it was the moment that the five of us all came together, and I think once we had the final, I think Simon was the last guy to join the band, and once he locked into place, I think then we started looking inward, and then the most inspirational guitar player was Andy, most inspirational keyboard player was Nick, and we didn't look outside of ourselves so much. Having found, it was like this music was the aid that brought us together. And once we found each other, and I think all great bands sort of do this, not that we're I'm saying we're great or anything, but you know, is that you do look inward. And so it was a long time, really, before I started listening to other people's music seriously again. It was probably the middle of the 80s by the time I started doing that again.
Right. And if we can go back to the days of the Rum Rummer that we were talking about last week and the scene there. It seems like a facile question, but were you all big dancers, or were you the people who sat around the edge?
Well, I think I became the DJ because I didn't want to dance. I wanted to. I liked to watch. So, no, I wasn't particularly. But I'd see the rest of them around. You know, if there was a really cute chick, then they tended to migrate towards the dance floor a little quicker.
John, was there a song that would get you rushing onto the dance floor? Did you avoid that?
I do like to dance, actually. A lot of the songs on this album, I mean, one of the things that Nick and I, you know, discovered, there are so many fantastic intros. And, you know, we're going to play Brian Ferry's The In Crowd next, because this is his, Nick mentioned earlier that he called Brian, David Bowie the Godfather. You know, well, you know, Brian's pretty close to being the Godfather of this scene, and The In Crowd was off one of his covers albums. I guess it's a mod W. Gray, I think, you know, sort of Wigan Casino classic, and Brian remade it, and it's got one of the greatest intros of all time that probably could even get me on the dance floor.
We'll be right back.
crowd roar. I'm in with the in crowd, and I know what the in crowd.
Brian Ferry singing the in crowd. So you had no time for the NME mockery of him as Byron Ferrari and.
I don't know. I think the NME kind of loved him, didn't they? I mean, certainly at that time for us, Roxy Music were the most exciting band around. We went to see them a lot of times, and they never let you down. The visuals were always great, and they were a proper art school band. The first Roxy Music album is so original. and Brian's solo records too, and I think, you know, very very few bands survive through the punk thing, but Roxy Music did, and made some great records in the '80s, even Avalon, you know.
And Roxy Music now, the kind of critical consensus appears to be that, well, a lot of it was about Brian Eno, but I mean, his solo records seem to be only known by about half a dozen people. I mean, I've got Here Come the Warm Jets at home, but don't know where else to start. Yeah, so, I mean, Brian Eno, tell me a bit about Brian Eno as a solo artist.
Obviously, when he left Roxy Music, we were very curious as to what was going to happen and what he was going to make. And the Here Come the Warm Jets album was a real inspiration when it came out. Most of his records are little mini masterpieces. I like Before and After Science, particularly, and Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy. He was a real ideas guy, that's very evident in the songs. I mean, actually, when I DJed, I didn't play so much from Eno, because a lot of them would probably have cleared the floor, I think. But the one that was very very popular is this next song we're going to listen to, called "The True Wheel."
Must have brought you would have been the chance to meet some of these heroes from the records that we've been talking about and playing over the last couple of weeks. Heroes, though, do they ever disappoint?
Yeah, I think some of them are bound to, aren't they? It's one of those things when you do meet people that you admire. I mean, whether it's in music or any other field for that matter, you're always a little sceptical as to what they're going to be like and whether you're going to get along with them, whether they're going to be what you want them to be, in fact. But out of all the people we've met, actually, we've had a pretty good time with our contemporaries and some of our heroes from when we were younger too.
I mean, I guess after a quarter of a century is amongst the best known people in pop music. I mean, there can't be much that thrills you anymore, but. When you were young, maybe there is. I mean,
I don't know. I met Buzz Aldrin. I thought that was kind of fun. This guy's been on the moon.
Buzz Aldrin, that's another level of fame altogether, though, isn't it? Really. But I mean, when you were young in the early days of Duran, with this sense of doors opening and, you know, the thrilling to the fact that all this stuff that once you were looking from the outside in at, you were suddenly a part of. That must have been absolutely fantastic for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're always. I mean, you can be on the same bill as Queen or David Bowie, but you know that you're not really in the same, you know, you're not in the same league. I mean, you're a baby, you know, and it must be how, you know, some newcomer feels like when he goes on the pitch with Thierry Henry, you know, and all you can really do is work as hard as you can. I mean, the Bowie records that we love so much. I mean, it took David a long time to refine his art, where he was making, you know, indispensable music, you know. We were straight in at the deep end. You know, our first album got us attention all over the world, and everybody was looking at us. So we had to really, you know, refine our craft in the public eye.
And did you feel intense pressure at that time in the early 80s when, I mean, the screaming hordes at Heathrow Airport, whenever you flew back into the country, the kind of almost a sense of Beatlemania around you, was it disorienting?
It was an interesting ride. I mean, for sure, a little bizarre, but you were happy they were there and instead of not there at that time. It was a signal that things were going pretty well.
It was like a 5-year-long anxiety attack. That's how I would term it, because you know, on the one hand, I mean, you couldn't. There was no respite. I mean, you'd wake up in the morning, there would be people outside your house. They'd be there when you went to bed at night. Everywhere you went, you'd be followed. And at the same time, you've got to write number one songs, not number 10 songs or number 20 songs. So, you know, it was pretty challenging.
And yet, John...
And all the drugs. I mean, you know...
The cars.
Yeah, and the late nights. I mean, you know...
This is The Guardian. We'd like to make clear that they were ethically sourced drugs, cars and everything.
Absolutely.
Clearly. But
completely natural,
organic.
Yes.
I'm glad you said that.
Almost.
But a quarter of a century on, John, you're still a sex symbol. I went with my wife to see you at Wembley not so long ago, and there were lots of women there still lusting after you with joy and glee in their eyes, seeing you back
alimony
on the stage. I know. Does that must feel odd now? Surely.
I think we feel. You know, we've grown up. You know, we've had 20 years to come to terms with who we are, and you know, and I think we're all getting along better than we've ever gotten. You know, and it's, you know, we're a strong team, and we feel, you know, that's what's important to us today. You know, the record that we're making right now, we feel is the best record we've made in a long, long time. The opportunity to get to put this album together is fantastic. And, you know, and it's something that wouldn't have happened if Nick and I hadn't decided to start working together again. And you know, all of that other stuff, it's irrelevant, really. I mean, you have so much, you know, important day-to-day stuff to deal with. I don't get caught up in that stuff anymore.
Well, let's go back 30-odd years to the final song from Only After Dark, your compilation of songs from the late 70s and early 80s. And I think looking at your list, this is actually one of my favourite groups of all time, Wire. Now, I suspect that the girls in 4B, when I was a teenager, had they heard you talking about Wire, would have fainted with shock and would have wondered what on earth this unearthly noise is. But Wire, a group who still sound remarkable, don't they?
It's a beautiful sound. It's such a modern sound. I was a big Wire fan. And, I mean, particularly the Pink Flag album is right up there with the best of the best. They were obviously a little earlier than most of the stuff on this record. I mean, this could have been perhaps 77, I would imagine. It was one of the songs when we used to go to Birmingham Barbarella's to see punk bands that they'd started playing then. And... It was very inspiring because they were sort of the more intellectual side of the punk bands, and they really did have a sound of their own. And this song particularly, I Am the Fly, was an anthem of that time, and it stayed on when we got to the Rum Runner. It was one of the things that I wanted to take out of the punk scene with us. I mean, actually, I did play other punk songs too, a few Clash songs and Sex Pistols and the Buzzcocks, but this one was always incredibly popular.
I can't entice you to try and dance to I Am the Fly, can I, John?
Well, funnily enough, the dance that everybody used to do was pretty unusual, because they'd all lie down on the dance floor on their backs and put their arms and their legs into the air and wriggle them all about, which looked quite fantastic, I have to say, when you see about 50 or 60 people doing that in unison.
Please recreate it for
yes,
me now.
Yes, like synchronized swimming.
And we'll finish off, as we say, with I Am the Fly by Wire, which is from Only After Dark, the compilation album of great songs from the late 70s and early 80s, put together by Nick Rhodes and John Taylor of Duran Duran. Thank you ever so much for coming in, guys, and talking about these records.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Calling over your window, you think I'm confused. I'm waiting for the diver, just what? Simply my comrades.
say please as you accept the next dose of disease.
Experience a whole new driving reality for yourself. To see the all-new Volvo C70, visit www.volvocars.co.uk.
Guardian Unlimited.